Have you, or is there someone that you know that has lost a child, maybe a baby, maybe a child that was 8 or 9, 10 years of age, or a teenager for that case, that have gone on to be with the Lord? Where are they at right now? What are they doing? What's taking place? What about babies that have been aborted, the soul and spirit of a little aborted baby? Does it exist, or as some people teach, it's just a blob of tissue until it becomes a child and it's removed from the womb? Well, today, I have a very special guest on Manifest. We are doing the series on life after death. We're doing a series that involves people who have personally had experiences dealing with life after death themselves and have seen paradise. They've stepped out of their physical body to actually see firsthand paradise. I have with me today Bishop Earthquake Curtis Kelly. And Earthquake, because he was a boxer. And I tell you, you look at this man, you can tell he could box. I'm glad he's on my side. Bishop, thank you for being here. He pastors in the state of California. And a friend of mine who used to work for USA Today called me and said, you've got to have this man on your program with his testimony. Now, I'm going to set this up for you. Bishop, you have been involved for many years in feeding poor people, inner city people. I mean, people that are drug dealers and drug addicts and prostitutions, and you've ministered to the poor of the poor and the needy of the needy. You had a son that was 24 years of age, and you were actually feeding people in the Watts District, which is known around the world as one of the toughest areas of the United States for gangs. And your son's car was carjacked, and he was shot twice in the chest, killed instantly on December the 7th, 1998. However, with the grief that you were experiencing, you yourself experienced a brain aneurysm in which they didn't think you were going to live. And this was the year 2004 in December, is that correct?
Right.
And you were taken to the hospital. Now, I want you to pick up the hospital. We're not going to deal so much with the aneurysm and the pain because it was a terrible. You've described to me the pain and the agony. But take it from there and tell us, just go with it, the experience that you had from that moment on. People have got to hear this.
Right. When I got to the hospital, my wife took me and they put me right inside of the examination room of the hospital, and I didn't know I had an aneurysm. I just thought it was just a headache.
Yeah.
And they was examining me and they wanted to give me medication, and so they did. They gave me medication, and the medication didn't work. Something went wrong, and actually it forced the air out of my body.
Ooh.
And I was actually feeling like my chest was being crushed. And
not a heart attack, but you couldn't breathe.
I couldn't breathe. Yeah. It just actually took my I don't know what it did to me. But anyway, it just caused me not to be able to breathe. And I was fighting to breathe. And I can notice that the doctor and my wife was trying to help me. And I went into convulsions. And during that time, all the air left my body. I started falling down. I could see myself going into this horrible pit.
You're a minister.
Yeah.
And that's not supposed to be happening.
No. I'm going into this pit, and I'm hollering and screaming, God, how can this happen to me? How can this happen to me? I'm a man of God. I've served you. I've done everything you told me to do. And as I was going down, I can hear all of these screaming and yelling. And then I got to a certain point, and I stopped. Then I heard God say, he said, I want you to hear and see what happens to people that die in hospitals around the world and don't have me.
They die lost.
They die lost.
Mm.
And what happens to them? And he said, don't fear. He said, this is just for you to come back as a warning for those that don't know me.
Mm.
And I started coming back up. And then he put me back in my body. And I could hear the doctors working on me, trying to get me to breathe.
Did you hear what they were saying?
I could hear everything the doctors and the nurses were saying. But I was saying, I'm here, I'm alive. And they worked on me. And after a while, they get stopped. I could hear them say, there's nothing else we can do.
Inside of you, your spirit was saying, I'm
alive.
Right.
I'm
but
alive.
You couldn't open your eyes at all.
Couldn't do nothing.
Okay.
Couldn't open my eyes. I couldn't even lift a finger. I was trying to get one finger.
Yeah, to show
it. Just nothing. And as I was there, I was saying, I'm alive. And I could hear them starting to shut down the equipment. Everything, they give up. And I heard God's voice says, open your eyes. And I tried to move my legs and everything. He said, open your eyes. And when I opened my eyes, it was one doctor that was standing there, and it was a female doctor. He said, welcome back. We thought we had lost you. And then from there, they rushed me into another room, and they put all the tubes and everything inside of me in intensive care.
Okay, now, follow up from that point a couple of days later, what happened in your room?
Yeah, I was there in the room. I was praising God, Cause he,
but a lot of pain.
It was so much pain. They had to pack my head with two big blocks of ice. And my blood pressure was high as any blood pressure should ever be. And it was painful. And they were checking me every 15 minutes. They said that I was going to die again.
Right.
So every 15 minutes, they had to check me around the clock. And so a nurse came in, and she said, it's your time for your check again. And I said, well, can you turn it on a nice Christian channel? Because I didn't want to see the cop shows and the shooting up and all that. I said, I don't want to see that. I want to see some nice Christian channel. So she turned in and tried to find it, couldn't find it. I said, well, just shut the door and turn out the light. And while she did it, she said, okay, we'll be back in about 15 minutes. And when she left the room, shut the door, I saw this big, golden, beautiful thing come into the room.
You actually saw it?
I saw it. I'm looking right at it. And it didn't make any noise. It settled at the foot of the bed, and they had me strapped down because I really couldn't move. And I sat up and I said, oh, man, that's so beautiful. What is that? And like a snap of a finger, it lifted me out of the bed.
Do you think your soul came out of your body at that point?
Yeah,
Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 12.
Right at that point, I left the shell.
Yeah.
And I was looking down. I was looking down on myself, but at that point, I didn't recognize myself. I said, man, that guy's in bad shape. He's not going to make it.
Wow.
And it was actually looking at myself. And then a second later, it was like I was taken with this big, beautiful, golden thing into this beautiful garden. I saw trees. It'd take 10 men to hand and wrap around. Perry, I saw blades of grass, that each blade of grass had a diamond, a jewel, and an emerald in it.
Like on top of it, or
inside of the blade?
Really?
It was so manicured, man, better than any golf course.
Did you walk on it?
At first, when I got there, I'm 6'5". When I got there, it was an angel. He was about 7 feet, and he said, go walk. And I thought that the grass having the emerald in it would go through my foot, so I was like
cut it.
Cut it, yeah. Cut my foot. He said, no, walk. And as I walked on it, it was the softest cotton.
That is amazing. No wonder the half hasn't been told.
Oh, man.
All right. Now, from that point, you said you actually stepped into a realm somewhere in paradise and saw the river of life.
Yes.
That's the Bible describes.
As I kept walking, as angel told me to walk, I kept walking. I saw a river. And it was dancing to this, like music.
Could you hear music?
Oh, yeah. I could hear music.
So in other words, the music, the water was kind of just flowing with the music.
Right, with the music.
Right. What did it look like?
It looked like liquid diamonds.
What a description.
Ah, glory.
What a description. Mm. Liquid diamonds.
It looked like liquid
diamonds. Like melted diamonds.
That's right.
Like different rainbow colors.
Different.
Just like all right, what happened after that then?
And as I was standing there, I didn't know. I got so excited. I wanted to put some in my pockets. I wanted to drink some. I wanted to swim. Now, you know, naturally, I can't swim. Yeah. But there, I felt like swimming.
What about that?
I mean, I was so excited to see that. I said, man, everybody ought to see this.
Mm.
You know, and then I could see the river was coming from this real big, beautiful building, like they're coming right out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I could hear the angels singing. Then I looked on the other side, and I saw my son.
The one that had been killed.
That's right.
Did he look the same?
Man, he looked good, man.
Did he look good?
Man.
And did you pay attention to what he was wearing? I mean, was there a particular... Because I know sometimes you key up on the person's face and you...
I was so stuck on him, but I didn't see any white robe.
Right,
I didn't see any long flowing.
Yeah.
I just saw him. I saw him.
Okay, what did you converse with him?
Yes, I did.
What happened?
And I said, hey. I said, Scott. He said, Dad. I said, is you? He said, yes, Dad. He said, this place is much more beautiful than you and Mom ever told me. I said, Scott, can I?
It's all right.
Get on the other side with you. He said, no, Dad, you can't. Right now, you got to go back. I said, no. I said, where's the boat? I said, it's got to be a boat, man.
So what you're trying to do is get across the river where he is.
Yeah, because I wanted to hug him.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted
to
hug him, man. You know, it's been since 1998 since I last seen him, and I wanted to hug him.
So 6 years had passed with his death. And does he look? But he looked the same, but you say he looked great.
Yeah, he looked good.
He knew you by name. He knew you were Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Now, did he talk about anything you were doing on Earth, or did he tell you anything there?
Yeah, he told me. He said, Dad, you remember when you made me that promise? When we were, you know, me being a boxer,
right.
He could hardly hit me. I was smooth. I would always tag him all the time, you know, and he could never get me. And we were boxing in the kitchen, and he stopped and he gave me the biggest hug.
Was this before he died?
Just before he died.
Okay.
The day before he died. The day before he died, he gave me this biggest hug. And he said, Dad, I want you to make me a promise. And he was squeezing me so tight here, I couldn't hardly breathe. I said, what's the matter? Something happened at work or something? He said, "No, Dad, I want you to make me a promise that you would never stop, you and Mom would never stop preaching deliverance. You would never stop helping the drug addicts and the gang members." And he said, "If you don't make me that promise, I'm not going to turn you loose." And I said, okay, son. And he let me go. And I said, "Oh, man, well, are you okay?" He said, "I'm okay." And I went the next day. I went to preach down in Nevada, preach revival in Nevada. And I got the worst call you ever get in your life. My wife told me that he was carjacked and he was shot in the chest point blank twice. And to see him in paradise, man.
So did he ask you what you were, if you're still doing, or
he told me, he said, "You have to keep doing. You can't come in here because you're not finished. You got to finish. You gave me your word that you was going to finish. You got to go back and finish."
Now, did you see anybody else?
Yeah, I saw some of the ministers that I knew, people that I grew up with.
Who had passed away?
Who had passed away, that I went to their home going service. They also were on the other side, and they too said, you can't come, you got to go back.
Do you think if you cross that river, you don't go back? Is that what the perception you have?
That's what I thought, and that's why I was trying my best to get over
it. you want to stay
there. Yeah, man.
Okay, now, you did see some children. Tell us about the children. This really touched me.
As I was being pulled back towards that beautiful golden thing that took me out of intensive care, I looked on the other side, and there were children running. And I said, "Wow, children, they were playing, man. They were having a good time. I wanted to go join and play with them. They were having such a great time." And I was standing, and this one I heard God speak to. I heard God's voice say, "You wonder who those children are?" And I said, "Well, yes." You know, I didn't say it with my mouth.
He was reading your thoughts,
yeah,
wasn't he?
I'm just thinking it. And then it was about three different groups of children playing, like children do down here too, you know, but they were playing. And he told me, he said one group was a group that died from wars, a group of children be killed in wars, accidents, cancer.
Were they from different nations?
Yeah, all different colors, every color you can imagine. He said, and there was another group that was running and playing.
Okay.
And he said that group over there were a group that were the children that were aborted, and they were sent back to me. Then I could hear, like, he started to cry, like God was. I could hear his voice starting to change, like he was in so much pain and so much misery
over that aspect.
Over.
He sent those children for people, and they sent them back. Him.
But then there was another group. That he said there was another group playing, and he said this is a group of children that I sent to so-called church people who listened to the ways of the world, secretly went and had abortion, and they sent them back.
Oh my. So in other words, he had grouped the children depending on what their situation was.
He grouped them.
Okay, now you came, was there anything else? Okay, now here's the part. You shared with me that God spoke to you to send the church two warnings.
Yes.
And I want everybody to pay very careful attention, because this man has been into the presence of the Lord, literally, not just his anointing, but the presence. I've got about 8 minutes. In that time, tell the two warnings God gave you.
He gave me a warning. He said, "Tell my people to repent." He said, "They're not taking me serious," is one. And the other one, he said, "There are so many people who are holding things against me as if I've sinned." He said, "There are people in the churches who have not forgiven me because I have not given them the things they wanted in the time that they wanted it, or I have not blessed their ministry to go as fast as another particular ministry, or somebody they prayed for died," and said they're holding grudges in their hearts against me. He said, "Until they forgive me, I cannot bless them to go forward."
That is so. I preached a message years ago called Forgiving God, and when you had shared that aspect with me, it just absolutely startled me, because what God was saying was people pray and I don't give them what they want, when they want, how they want, and then they get mad at me. And God told you, said, "I don't sin." They're
That's
blaming
right.
me like I
That's
sin,
right.
but I don't
He's
sin.
Never sinned.
And he said people have got to release him
right
to make it in. They're going to have to forgive God and release him and say, "God, I'm sorry for how I felt about you."
About you.
Okay, now the second one is very stirring. It's about ministry. Tell that.
He told me that.
Now this is in paradise. This is not in prayer. He went out of his body from the hospital after having the brain aneurysm, went out into the, out, literally.
Yeah, I was gone.
Soul and spirit goes out to heaven. He was gone, thought he had died, saw his son who'd been killed by gangs. He's in paradise hearing God say this. Now go ahead and tell us the second part.
Also, he said there's ministers who are living any way they want, who He has sent them warning after warning after warning to repent of their sins. He said that they have a wife and many lovers. He said, I've sent them many warnings to repent. He said, they're chasing after money and fame instead of seeking my face. He said, I've sent them warning after warning after warning. They refuse to repent. He said, so since they refuse to repent after warning, he said, many of them will die in their pulpits, the very places that they're expressing themselves from, but not of me.
Now, when you came back, did you, since that time, have you seen anything happen that fits that description?
Yes, I've seen a couple people that I know in particular who fit that description.
Weren't living right.
They were not living
just
right.
Just a real hypocritical life.
Very bad lifestyle, but yet proclaiming to be the minister of the gospel. They died in their, two were 39 years old.
Oh, really?
In the pulpit, yes, sir.
Well, it doesn't mean if a person passes away in the pulpit or after the preacher, that's happened, but God gave a warning
that
he'd given them to repent.
The warning.
Now, one of the things you shared with me, and this is going to sound like it's off track from what we're talking about, was that you saw something, God actually spoke to you about warning America of a major terrorist attack.
Yes.
If they
yes.
did not repent,
yes.
if they didn't, in fact, what you don't know, Bishop, is I got a phone call. There was a man in Australia that's considered to be a real prophetic man that said if Roe versus Wade is not overturned in the United States, Jesus appeared to him and said, you tell the Americans if they don't overturn it and start protecting the ones I'm sending them, the little babies, severe, severe judgment is going to strike the whole United States to where they won't even, people won't even recognize what it is in the future. Tell me very briefly about what you saw. We still have 5 minutes here.
Or
what the Lord gave you.
He saw that destruction was coming upon this country, starting upon this country. He showed me a big wave that was going to hit, like water wave, where thousands were going to, before Katrina
this,
hit.
Yeah, this was 2000, what? Four, wasn't it?
2004,
okay.
December 2004.
Yeah. Remember, God showed him all this before it happened.
Right, and he also showed me terrorists. It's already here in this country.
And you said you saw, you couldn't see their faces, but there was one woman and four men that were working as a sleeper cell.
Right, one lady
on
and
a
four men.
And it was a major attack, wasn't it?
Right,
We're talking about something that's so major people can't even comprehend it.
You can put super in front of it, super major attack.
Isn't that something? Now, these are, let me explain to you what's going on here. Last week, Brother Carter and Brother Tommy Bates were on talking about experiences of Brother Carter's wife being dead for 21 minutes, going and seeing her son 40 years prior, who had been killed in an accident. He'd been run over by a truck. Bishop Kelly, brain aneurysm in a hospital, sees a vessel come in and pick him up and instantly take him into the presence of God. Now you may say, well, Brother Perry, what is all this about? 2 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about, Paul says, I was caught up into the third heaven, I was caught up into paradise, saw things it was not lawful for man to utter. Paul simply said, I saw so much that if I came back to tell you, you wouldn't believe it.
Amen.
And I believe that's the reason the Lord didn't let him see it, because people would not believe everything that half has not been told.
Amen.
I hadn't seen, ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But watch this verse. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, which is our foundation, and by these insights of people that have had these experiences. Now, you know, there's a doctor in Chattanooga, Tennessee called Dr. Maurice Rawlings that has written several books on life after death. And he revived people who'd been in hell. Mm-hmm. He revived people who'd gone out of their body and been to heaven. Now, when this started happening, he wasn't a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And there are doctors, they don't talk about it that often. Some are starting to talk about it more, that talk to people who say they come out of their body at surgery. They come out of their body when they're in an accident. Well, the Bible says you're a body, soul, and spirit. Now, I know that some people believe in what's called soul sleep. And they believe that the soul and spirit stays in the body. I know other people that believe maybe there's a place of purgatory where the, you know, a person goes through certain fire and then they're purged and then they come out. And, you know, the Lord had me do, and we're going to offer this today on the program, a series that covers all these questions that people have about paradise.
Amen.
But Bishop, having seen there and having been there, did it change your outlook on life or on the future at all?
Oh, yes, sir.
In what way?
Sir. One thing God showed me, he said, tell my people to take this serious.
Mm.
They're not taking it seriously enough, lackadaisical. And I do inventory on myself every day, Perry, to make sure, you know, examine myself to make sure that I stay within the parameter. Don't go too far to the left. Would have stayed before God. Get on my hands and knees, cry out to God. I mean, go before God like God, I want you to use me because yes. I know what's there and I know what's there.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I have to warn the souls before it's everlasting too late.
Yes.
And God, that's what I do. That's my dictator.
Well, let me tell you real quick. I want to put up Bishop's information. And also, there's a book just been written called Heaven's Golden Vessel. It's his testimony. There's a website. You can click on that website and get the book, information about the book. And I would like for you to just continue to pray for this brother. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. It's a miracle for you to sit here because I've heard the whole story of the aneurysm. And for you to be able to see, to ride on a plane. Amen. They even told you if you frowned, it could kill you, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, the doctor put my wife in the hospital. She put her hand on my head. She said, don't frown. She said, if you frown, you will die. They say I'm going to die. They think I'm going to die now. They said,
you're doing good for a dead man, I'll tell you that.
If I had an aneurysm, I might go back and... No, get that.
My Lord. Well, I want to say something. Amen. When I met you in California, and through a friend that worked at USA Today, we know who we're talking about, that lives in the Washington area, said, you got to talk to this man. And I met you. I knew, I bore witness immediately with Praise your God. Testimony and your spirit. And I know there's people, they say, well, you know, that's not what we believe. We believe that soul and spirit goes in the body. These experiences can't be real. It's all in people's head. No, folks, listen.
Amen.
You know when you've had a real experience with God. You know
yes.
it. And Bishop, it's a great honor to have you with me. Now, we're going to do some other programs later on. On Manifest, and then just so you'll know, next week we're going to have a pastor. I was with him in his church right outside of Houston, Texas, and I'm going to tell you one of the greatest revelations I've ever heard in my life will be next week on Manifest. I want you to trust me. Of all the times you've ever watched our program, you cannot miss Manifest next week. I want you to tell everybody you know about it, because when Brother Walter Hollum comes on and tells the story of what Jesus appeared to him and gave him a revelation, and it's one of the most dramatic things I've ever heard in my life, and that'll be next week on Manifest. So I don't want you to miss this.